this end of things.
And you can actually read later, Hope Lost, you know, for the question about what's this the movie about.
Absolutely.
You can read that yourself and you keep that. So.
Sure. And I'm going to put a graphic up whenever the podcast comes up. Can I use it from that web address that you sent me in
Hope
your
Lost?
Salutation? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, let me send you the original because Bill did a crappy job putting that up there. We're going to have I've got some expert people who are going to come in here in a little bit and redo that.
Okay.
But if you want any, if you want the film graphic, then I think it'd be best if I just send it to you.
Okay. That'd be great.
I can send that to you today.
Okay. Excellent.
Excellent.
I
like it.
I did. And I sometimes with alumni, I use pictures from the yearbook. Do you want me to? Is that okay? Or should I not?
I don't know. I look pretty crappy.
If not, it's cool. I can all admit it. I like to throw it out there when I'm talking to alumni.
It's up to you.
Okay. Yeah, I graduated in 91 too, and I don't know that I'd want to go back to that image of what I used to look like then.
Where did you graduate from?
Liberty.
Liberty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like 91. I do not even have any pictures of me back. I didn't even get a yearbook.
Oh, is that right?
You know, I forgot to order one, so I never got one.
Yeah, they have all of them over there from like 1920s or 30s on up to today. So whenever I talk to alumni, I just go over there and scan it and throw it in there. So I'll look at it. I'll scan it, send it over to you.
I'm like, wow. Those are the days I want to forget.
Right. Oh, I hear you. I hear you. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start this so we can get it going and you can get on with your day. And I'm just going to ask the questions from afar. That mic's a little sensitive, so...
That's what I was going to ask you, on the depth on this mic.
Yeah, if you can get up a little close with it. Yeah, about right there is fine. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and start out. How many years did you attend C4 schools and what year did you graduate?
Okay, I started when I was in kindergarten in Grandview area, and I went all the way up through senior high where I graduated in 1991.
Okay. Do you remember any teachers that maybe had a profound impact on you?
I think the teacher that had the most profound impact would probably be Sandra Howard, who was my drama teacher for my film itself. You know, she was the one who really inspired me.
Excellent. What extra activities did you do in high school?
For extra activities, I would say the band. I was in that for quite a while, and then my senior year, I switched over to doing totally drama.
What kinds of productions were you in?
I was one of the roles in Don't Drink the Water. I think that was Woody Allen.
Uh-huh.
And I played in Little Shop of Horrors doing some background stuff and things. But yeah, I didn't, until my senior year, I really didn't get too much into the plays, and which, you know, I wish I would have now done more into it.
What about when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I'm doing exactly what I want to be.
Excellent.
And when I started when I was younger, I had my Super 8 and just taking neighbor kids, doing little films, and then later on the VCR camera came around and started using that, and it just doing little skits and shorts and things that I just wanted to do to help me kind of experience the industry, you know, even in a small part. My first job was even at the AMC Theater in Truman Corners before it was torn down. And, you know, you still feel like you're part of the industry, and in a way, you are.
Excellent. In high school, what kinds of things were you writing in high school?
I liked writing some little bit of fantasy, sci-fi type things, and which later translated to what I'm doing today, which is pretty much everything I write is in the sci-fi fantasy realm.
Yeah. When you got out of high school, what'd you do first?
Went to college.
Okay. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Longview and for 2 years, and then I took a short break, and then I went to Central Missouri and finished up there.
Excellent. How many films have you written and been involved with up to this point?
I've been in little small productions, but this is my first major motion picture. And so I'm lucky that I hit a home run on my first time at bat.
Talk to me a little bit about this film.
The film Wait a minute, are you talking about the...
About the current film. About...
About this?
Yes, about Hope Lost.
The film itself is takes place in today's society, and it what it encompasses is a whole range of genres. I wanted it to be a sci-fi action film, of course, because they make the most money and people enjoy watching them, too. But at the same time, I added elements of drama and comedy and all these thrilling aspects that people really like about films, and just balled them up into one film so that everybody who went to it would find something that they liked about it or could identify with a certain character.
Now, it's going to be shot in Kansas City. Are there any locations in particular you're going to be hedging on more?
Kansas City's been really gracious to us about shooting out here, and we've got quite a few areas that we've been scouting. I think they want us to get the Downtown Bridge, the new one, and the new Opera House. There's some restaurants around Kansas City that we're going to be featuring, and possibly doing some things in Lee's Summit.
Okay. How about Grandview? Is Grandview going to be a part of it?
We initially tried talking with Grandview about it, but their first responses were not really positive about bringing in this big of a production into the Grandview area. They just didn't have the funds to assist us in any way with police or fire.
Gotcha. When is the film slated to be released?
Well, it's slated to be released probably this winter, but of course that all depends on the distributor and the scheduling. But at the moment, that's what we're hoping is going to happen, is sometime this winter.
So is Hope Lost going to be a bigger springboard for future films for you?
Yes. Hope Lost is a huge endeavor that's going to encompass a lot of other films. And what I wanted to show Hollywood was that we could actually do this film for much less, and we could have just as good a quality with all these different aspects of Kansas City that people just don't understand. And Hollywood is not very receptive to change. They have their ideas about how things should be done, and they don't like people throwing a wrench in the works. But they gave me a chance to prove it, and I got a lot of sponsorship and support out here, and I showed them that I could. And so they themselves, the producers, came out and toured around Kansas City, and they were just amazed at how much culture we actually have here in Kansas City and how much there is to offer. And I think that with me producing more films in the area, we're going to start getting a lot more spotlight on this area.
Excellent. Now, explain to a layperson that has not made a film, been near Hollywood, or the process, what goes in from the inception of the idea to the release date? What happens in between that time?
Any film you make is going to have a certain parameter that you have to stick to. But if you're talking about a major motion picture, this is an incredible project that takes countless thousands of hours on a phone, just talking to people, getting things going, getting the right people involved, and it's nudging one person closer to the project so that another person will nudge closer. And even then, sometimes it doesn't work. And only probably about 1 in 100,000 films that are made will actually make it to theaters. So you've got to remember that this is an incredibly difficult thing to do. And you got to start with the screenplay. And it's got to be good. It's got to be something that people like. It can't be so completely genre-oriented that only a certain percentage of the audience will like it. You want to at least get 40 to 60% of the people would like this film if they saw it. And if you can stick in that range, you're going to catch people's attention. Nobody is going to write a perfect screenplay that everybody's going to like. And it could be changed after it's made. So that's the most important thing, is you've got to make a great screenplay. And then you've got to have money. You have to get people to back you and push it out there, because people don't realize how much goes into development process. They see, oh, they're shooting for 6 to 8 weeks. But that production part is actually the smallest part of the film. We do months of pre-production, years sometimes of development, and you've got months and months of post-production, and then from there it's a waiting until you're getting on the schedule.
So how did you initially get into the movie business?
I initially got in because I started writing my own book series, and I put it in a test market on Amazon.com in Kansas City, and I think I sold anywhere from 300 to 500 books, and I got such great reviews on it that I said, okay, well, you know, I've got some here. So I pulled the books from the shelf so that I could make them in movies later, and I wrote Hope Lost to give me kind of a springboard, as you say, to get going.
Sure.
And I didn't write Hope Lost for myself. I wrote it for everybody else. This was not a project that was just me. I wanted something that everybody could connect to. And the most important thing for people out there is they want to know that it makes money.
Sure.
And Hollywood is not good about accepting new things unless they know that they've got a surefire thing to make them money.
Sure. What do you like best about writing and producing films?
As a writer and producer, you get to be so much of an integral part of the film. If you're just a writer, then you hand them the script and they make whatever adjustments they want, whether before or during, and what you see on the screen can oftentimes be nothing of what you wrote. But as a producer, you get a lot more control, and I can have creative control and make sure that the directing is perfect and the production goes smoothly, and I get all the people I want and who are involved in this, from cast to crew, and as well as the production. And so, yeah, if you want to be a part of the industry, be a part of the industry. Don't just take one area, because that is so difficult.
Sure. What is the future for writing and producing for Jeff Albert?
It's my intention to keep going. I would like to eventually build studios out in Kansas City that I can start doing my own productions out here, and build enough extra studios that other people can come out and use the studios themselves. I'd also like to talk to Missouri legislation in Kansas about increasing budgets for film to come out here, because that's a big thing, is those tax credits, this huge incentive. So I want to really make this a movie-friendly area and give people a chance, because one of the things I've heard about going out in L.A. is that every day 700 people come out to L.A. with these big hopes and dreams, and every day 700 people leave in defeat. So that is one of the things that people don't understand, is when you go out there, you have to have a plan. Mm-hmm. Now, if I create an industry out in Kansas City, then we've got something here, and mm-hmm. people don't have to go as far to understand the industry, to be a part of it, and the select few will actually get to be in the production on screen.
Excellent. What about in the lore of Kansas City directors and writers and actors, such as Robert Altman, who do you admire the most?
I would have to say Walt Disney. He got his start here in Kansas City with his studios downtown, and he went and moved on to L.A., but he made such a huge, huge success out of himself. We do have a few people around the area who did come into the industry, and whether they were good writers or directors or producers, but I think Walt Disney was just kind of a little bit of everything, and he really made it into an empire.
Excellent. So now, since you graduated from Grandview, what have you seen in the area? What are your thoughts on the changes in Grandview?
It has changed quite a bit, I will give it that. When I was here, Belton was just like a cow town, and now it's just grown up so much, and there's so many businesses that are gone now that used to be here. The theater I used to work at, a lot of these places are just empty. And it's hard to see, you know, that when you come back to city, you want it to be progressive, but I feel like there's actually been a decline in population. And so I'm hoping that the new mayors and council will start doing programs that start trying to bring more things into Kansas City. And I don't think it's too late. I think it's just a matter of how much do you want it.
What was the best thing about growing up in Grandview and attending the schools here in the district?
The best thing about being in Grandview was the people I met. I have lifelong friends, people that I've known since grade school, who I still talk to and get to go hang out with. And my best friend, Brian Zeef, I've known him since I was 4 years old. And we still hang out on occasion, and he's helped me out with the business one time when I was doing some photography. And it was just, it's just incredible the people that I've met here that were just so great and just ended up being so much a part of my life.
Let's say down the line when you accept your Lifetime Achievement Award, how do you want Hollywood and the entertainment industry to remember you?
I'd have to do a lot of things right to get that award, but going along that chain of thought, I would say that I want people to remember me as somebody who was fair and trustworthy and gave people a shot who didn't normally have a shot to do this.
What, who has been the most inspirational, or who would you consider a hero in your life?
I think the person who would be the most inspirational would probably be my best friend, Brian Zeef, because he was just always there for me. He helped me with my creative ideas. He always believed in me whenever I had some kind of flight of fancy, you know, going out there and doing all this and that. And yeah, you know, I didn't have the normal train of thought, you know, go to school, college, get your degree, get a business job, and then 9 to 5. My life has always been so chaotic. I do believe in higher education. That is extremely, extremely important. But, you know, Brian was always there for me. He really guided my way on this.
Last question. What would be one of your favorite quotes or films or something in the arts realm that has inspired you?
I saw a quote one time before I got into this that really moved me, and it was, "Don't ever listen to uneducated criticism." And what that means is listen to yourself, because only you can tell yourself what you can and can't do. Nobody knows you like yourself, and I don't care if you got family or friends telling you, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's not true. If I listened to everybody who criticized me, I wouldn't be where I am. I pushed on no matter what people said, because I knew that this was something I could do. And that's the most important thing, is don't ever listen to uneducated criticism, because everybody doesn't know everything. And especially people who don't know anything about the field, there's nothing they can say that should be able to sway you.
Absolutely. Excellent. That's all I have. Very nice. Very nice.
Is it? I was sweating. Oh my God. I'm usually not the one in the spotlight. It's all my other people, you know.
Yeah. But, no, I tell you what, I really enjoyed the, I really like to get alumni back and to talk, and these kids that are in school now, when they hear this interview, they're like, man, this guy's doing what he wants to do. He's out in Hollywood. I think it's really good for the kids. I think it's good for the community, especially with the community has taken a lot of hits. I mean, businesses are leaving. The whole, you know, kind of mentality is out at Grandview. And it's like, as somebody that works in this community and has been here for 6 years now, I just want to do what I can to kind of buff against that.
Oh, my gosh. You weren't there at the city hall meeting we had with the mayor. I got up and I went off on the mayor.
Who, Beckers? Or the new guy?
Not the new guy. It was the older guy. He was a big, heavy guy.
Yeah.
And with glasses. And I guess he died recently or something.
Yeah.
But, oh, my gosh. He was just like, you know, I said, okay, we're going to be bringing millions of dollars into your community, you know, and a lot of jobs, and I'm going to be spending so much money on doing things, you know. All we want is some police support for our actors.
Sure.
He's just like, I just can't justify putting any money out towards this, you know, and helping you out with that, you know. I just don't think the taxpayers would agree to that. And I was like, you ass. I was like, do you realize what you've done to this community? I was like, people like you, if narrow-minded thinking, have hollowed these buildings out.
Yeah.
And people like you have made the unemployment go up. People like you who are so narrow-minded that they don't see the light that's in front of them. Like, we are offering you millions of dollars to put in there. All we're asking is for a little police support. You know, I was standing up. I was going off, and my producer's finally like, Jeff, let's go. You know, Mara was like, we don't want anything more to do with you guys. And, you know, I was like, and the media was there. They're going, oh.
You know, good for you. I mean, this community, I've watched bad decisions, botched decisions. I actually called him one time, and it was just a complete bullshit hokey thing. There was a donkey, Ebenezer, down the road. Have you heard about this donkey? He's just a donkey that's in a pasture down the road here. And people love him. They feed him. He's like an ambassador in this town. He almost died last year. And I wrote an article for The Advocate, and the KC Star picked it up, and they raised 10 grand and resuscitated it. Yeah, it's one little small donkey, but he brings all these people joy. The superintendent loves him, all these people in town. So I called him up like 3 or 4 years ago, and I said, let me just throw something out at you. Why don't you give him a key to the city or make him some special ambassador? Let's celebrate the good aspects. He totally blew it off. He was like, my alderman would laugh me out of the room. My wife loves him, but there'd be no way anybody would take me seriously. I can understand that, but the sense of adventure this dude had just wasn't there.
That's just it. You don't know till you try.
Right.
You're the mayor. Who cares if your aldermans laugh at you?
Yeah, no.
I'm the elected mayor, you know. Laugh all you want, but here's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah. Just give it a shot. I mean, the Red X has to be the biggest abomination that this town has concocted. Yeah. I mean, it was like, you guys had this gem. You had a business. You could have grown around it. I mean, it's still grown over there, but it's like, how can you lose that? And they lost it within like 8 months.
And that's the problem, is there's... they allowed a lot of